Our Shira Maseches Sota is sponsored by David and Paula Bamser and OMO Construction, Building Futures. Our breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Lili Nishmas, Fega Bas Chaim, Shimon Ben Zev, Sev Ben David, Sarah Bas Shalom, Chaim Ben Yoshua, Edel, Chaim Ben Yoshua, and Edel Bas Moshe Yosef. Okay, so we find ourselves towards the end of Tezayin Amabez, actually not 100% the end. It's about 15 lines up Tanu Rabbanan in the middle of the line, and this is kind of finishing up some of the issues related to what the order is as we create the concoction that is the Meisota. So the Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, what happens if hikdim afar lamayim? So normally speaking, we put the mayim into the kli, and then we add the dirt, and we're going to add other things into the concoction to create the meisota. What happens if first we add the afar, and then we add the mayim? So first we put the afar, and then we put the mayim. So the Gemara says, pasul, this is pasul. You have to put the mayim chayim el keli, the pasuk says. Rav Shimon machshir. But Rav Shimon is of the opinion that even though you put the afar first, it is kosher. My time at the Rabbi Shimon. What is the reason for Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara says, dechsiv, because it says, v'lochu latomei may afar sreifas hachatos. So the pasuk says that when it comes to the offers of Srefat Hachatos, which is the mitzvah to go ahead and burn the ashes of the Parah Aduma, so the halacha is that if hikdimu offer lamayim, there also you have to put in water and you have to do it in a certain order, which I think you learned about earlier. So here, if you put in the offer and then the Srefat Hamayim, Rabbi Shimon says it's kosher. But Tanya, I'm Rabbi Shimon. V'chi afar hu, v'alo efer hu. So that's not afar, that's efer, right? Afar means dirt. Efer means ashes with an aleph. Mm-hmm. So what's going on? How are those comparable? So shina kosov v'mashmo. So he asks, why is the Torah using the word efer when it should be using the word efer? Sounds like you're putting dirt into the mechatos, into the paraduma concoction. We're not putting dirt in, we're putting ashes in. So why are you using the word for dirt with an ayin? So says Rabbi Shimon, Shina akosu b'mashmo, ladun amenu gzeres shava. So the Torah went out of its way to use this formulation in order to draw a gzeres shava. Nemar kan offer. It says offer with respect to sota. V'nemar lahalon offer. And it says offer. I'm sorry, Khan is the paraduma, right? And it says lahalan offer by the meisota. Malahan offer agabe mayim. Afkan offer agabe mayim. So just like offer has to go on top of mayim, so too mechata, so too sota. Offer has to go on top of mayim. Uma kan. And just like uma kan hiktim offer lemayim. And just like over here, hikdim by para aduma, hikdim ofer lamayim is kosher. Af lahalon, so too by sota, hikdim ofer lamayim is also kosher. Hikdim ofer lamayim is kosher. So the Gemara says, okay, so hikdim lamayim, if you hikdim ofer lamayim, so this is a case of bidiyevet. So if you hikdim ofer lamayim bidiyevet, just like para aduma it's kosher, so too here it's kosher. Well, really, v'hasam minalan. How do you know that it's kosher to be hikdim? This whole thing is based on this comparison. So I got that the Torah uses the word offer with an ayin in order to draw this comparison. But how do you know? How in the world do you know that over there hikdim offer lamayim is kosher? That then you can draw that to be the same case here. So the Gemara says trei krai iksivi. There are two psukim. Ksiv alav. The pasuk uses the word alav. So the Afer comes first, right? Viksiv, Alma Afer Beresha. That sounds like the Afer comes first. V'ksiv mayim chayim el keli. And it also says that the water goes into the kli, presumably with nothing else is in the kli. So alma mayim bereisha. So that sounds like the water comes first. Ha ketzad, how is that possible? Ratza zeh no sein, ratza zeh no sein. So that means that basically you could put this one first, you could put that one first, b'diavad. So that's how we establish that notion by Para Aduma. Since the same word is used with respect to Sota as it is used to Para Aduma, therefore we learn from Para Aduma that Sota as well, Hikdim Ofer Lamayim, if the offer goes first, according to Rabbi Shimon, it is kosher. V'Rabbanan, well, the Rabbanan hold this whole thing is possible. So what do they say about all of this? So how do the Rabbanan, they don't hold that you can do this. So what do they do with these psukim? So the Gemara says, El Keli Dafka, V'Rabbanan El Keli. So the Rabbanan says, when it comes to the phrase El Keli into the Kli, Dafka Olof, Dafka, that it's Dafka, the Mayim has to come first. Dafka, right? Mm-hmm. El Keli. What about the word Olof? That sounds like the Mayim is going on the Efer that's already there. So Olof tells you, L'Arvon, Olof tells you that you mix them together. Not that you could put one before the other, but that they are Olof, meaning they are mixed in together. Ve'ema Olof Dafka, El Keli Shetehei Chiyusim B'Kli. So how do you know that you do it that way? Maybe the drusha should be the other way, like Rabbi Shimon said. So the Gemara says, "Ma matzina b'chol makom machshir lemala afkan machshir lemala." So the Gemara says, "No, we always find that the thing that actually transforms this into its unique role, what's machshir it to be used, always comes next. Always is the thing that's put on top of the other thing." So too, just by Sota, so too by Paraduma, Machshir Lamala af Machshir Lamata, and therefore, if you're Hikdim Afar Lamayim, say the Rabbanon, that is possible, and that wraps up the situation of creating the of creating it. Okay, this brings us to the next part of the Gemara. It starts with the Mishnah. I was going through the Mishnah myself, and I printed out a little bit of something to help us along so that we could follow the psukim. So let's very quickly just review the Parshas HaSota, because that's what this is all about. This next Mishnah is about. The question is, how much of the text of Parshas HaSota is written on the klaf and then placed into the Meisota as part of the process? How much of what's written here? It starts by Yidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Hashem says, speak to the Bnei Yisrael. So everybody agrees the first part here is not included. Ish ish, person suspects his wife. And they go ahead and he warns her and she's hidden with him. This is describing the circumstances. So everything describes the circumstances until we get to basically Pasuk Tes Zayin. And already at Tes Zayin, we have the woman being brought to the Kohen before Hashem. And the Kohen takes the Mayim Kedoshim, and from the offer that's by the Karka HaMishkan, and he takes the Kohen takes it and he puts it into the water. V'nosan alamayim, right? The water first, and then this offer. And then the Torah tells us, V'hemid HaKohen es ha'isha lifnei Hashem. The Kohen stands the woman before Hashem. Upara as Rosha, reveals her hair. It's one of the makoros in the Torah for the obligation to cover one's hair, married woman to cover one's hair. V'nosan al kapeha, Es minchas azikaron, minchas kenos, hi v'yadakon yu mea ma'arim ma'arim. And the Kohen's holding these mea ma'arim. Then, in the beginning of Pasuk Yud Tes, the Torah says, you were in Pasuk Yud Tes, v'yishbia oso ha'kohen, and the Kohen makes her swear an oath, v'omar el ha'isha, and he says to the woman, and then he says a number of things. What does he say? The first thing he says is, v'omar el ha'isha, im lo shochav ish osach, right? V'im lo shatis tuma tachas isheich. If nothing happened, remember, she's suspected. We don't know. If we had Edim that saw her actually be Mizana, there we wouldn't be in Meisota. She's suspected. So the first thing we tell her is, you know what? If it turns out that absolutely nothing's wrong here, then hinaki mimei hamarim hamarim ha'ela. Then you will basically be cleansed, naki, like cleansed, like proven innocent from these waters. The at kishoti is tachas isheich, But if you have gone ahead and strayed and been mezaneh with somebody else, and it turns out you become defiled with a man other than your husband. So then the Kohen makes her swear b'shvuas ha'Allah, the oath of a curse, the Omar HaKohen le'isha, and here's what the Kohen says to the woman. Yitein Hashem osach le'Allah u'le'shvua, Hashem will basically make to you a curse and a shvua, b'soch ameich, amongst your people, that b'seis Hashem is yirachech, nofeles v'espitnech tzava. And what's going to happen? Your thigh will collapse, your stomach will blow up. Ubo amayim ma'arim alayla b'melayich b'memayich, latzbos betim v'lan pil yarech v'amra isha amen amen. And the waters are going to enter your innards and your stomachs, everything's going to explode. And the woman says, amen amen. Then the Torah says, because it's confusing, then the Torah says, v'kosav es ha'alos ha'ele. And you write these curses, hakohen basefer, on a scroll, umacha el mei hamarim, and you go ahead and you dissolve it into these mei hamarim v'yishka sa'isha, and you go ahead and you drink it to the woman. It's mei hamarim arim ubo ma'amayim ma'arim lamarim. Ilokach hakohen miyara isha, and then the kohen takes this the karbonos v'yishka amayim v'haisa, if she was in pasuk chav zayin, if she did the wrong thing, if she did the right thing. Okay. Those are the psukim of Sota. So why did we take a break for a chumashir? Because let's look at the Mishnah together. So the Mishnah says the following. Bolo lichtov es ha-Megillah. So you come to write the Megillah Sota. Me'eze makom hu kostev. Where exactly in this whole parsha do you begin writing these words on the Megillah itself? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, mivim lo shochav ish. So if you look, Mi'im lo shochav ish, that's where the red begins, right? Im lo shochav isho sach, right? Because this is v'ishbiyo, so a kohen v'omar el ha'isha. So he's mashbiya the kohen, and he says to the woman, this is what he says. So this is already what we're going to put in the Megillah Sota, and go ahead and erase. V'at ki shotis, lo shochav ish, v'at ki shotis, tachas isheich. And then you take it all the way until at kishatis tachas isheich, and that's pasuk chaf through the end of pasuk chaf. The eino kosev, except you don't write. So that's all in red. This is the first sheet in the Mishnah. But what's in yellow, you do not write. V'yishbiya hakohen es ha'isha, because that's already like the narration. Mm-hmm. That's describing what's going to be said. So that you leave out. So then you leave that part out, v'kosev, and then you resume in the red. Again, forget the fact that it's underlined for now. Yitein Hashem osach la'ala ul'shvua, ubo amayim ma'orim ma'ela v'me'ayach, l'tzos betim v'limpo yerech, v'limpo yerech. Okay? And that takes you to the end of the red over there. V'eino kosev, but you don't write, v'amra ha'isha amen amen. You don't write the Amra Ha'isha Amen Amen. And that's the Shita, that's the first Shita in the Mishnah. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo. So then that's the first Shita in the Mishnah. Okay? That's, you include all of those different pieces. Okay. So Rabbi Yossi agrees with almost all of this, but Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo Haya Maspik. So Rashi says, what does that mean? Mishihidchil imlo shachav ish, the part that begins in the red, imlo shachav ish osach ad amen amen, shaya koset savodi vishbiya kohen. Loya maspik. In other words, he agrees with all of this, but he says you don't leave out the yellow, okay? That you include, you include that part as well. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. That's our second opinion. Rabbi Yehuda, and our third opinion, Omer, kol atzmo eino kosev. You don't write any of this. Ela yitein Hashem. You only write from where it says, v'omer hakohen le'isha, yitein Hashem oschal. You only write the underlined. until La'olav Shvo Bo Amayim Ma'orim Ma'elu Ma'ayich Ve'eno Kosev Ve'amra Ha'isha Amen Amen. So he says you just do what's underlined, but you do not do excuse me anything before it or this last phrase at the end. Anything before it? You have a little water. It's fine. I don't need coffee. It's okay. Or this last phrase at the end. So three-way machlokas. What is included in the scroll of the Sota? Is it basically from where the Kohen is mashpia, the woman, the whole thing, except for the parts that narrate what's happening? Is it even the parts that narrate what's happening? Or is it none of these Shavuos and really just the end, which describes what Hashem's going to do? Everybody agrees that you got to get what in there? Shem Hashem, right? Mm-hmm. One of the chidushim of Sota, as we know, is the fact that we're going to erase Shem Hashem in order to do this. Okay. In order to do this. So now, the Gemara says, B'mai komiflagi. So now the Gemara wants to know, what really is this machlokas? It really sounds like the machlokas is basically, you know, just like a general, which one you do. Thank you so much. Shalav Shini Makum now, right? Okay. B'mai komiflagi. So the Gemara says, B'hai kra komiflagi. This whole thing is about how to interpret the pasuk in bold. V'kosav es ha'olos ha'ele. Right? You write these curses. So, ha'kohen b'sefer. Right? How do you interpret this? So, Rabbi Meir, the shita of Rabbi Meir, right? Rabbi Meir was our first shita. Bolo lichtov me'eze makom. Kosav amen amen. So the shita of Rabbi Meir is olos, 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 olos mamish. So the word olos refers to the actual curses. So those are in. Ha olos, the fact that the Torah goes ahead and modifies the word olos with ehei ayidia, being more specific, lirabos klolos haba machmas barachos, comes to include the klolos that are also machmas the brachos, meaning the fact that she gets brachos, if this doesn't end up proving her problematic, that in and of itself is implies that if it is problematic, she'll get klolos. So the explicit klolos and the inferred klolos, right? Both of them. Eile lemeute, so that's ha'olos. Then it says ha'olos ha'eile. Eile lemeute klolos shema mishna Torah. Eile comes to exclude the fact that the second time we learn the Parashat Sota in Sefer Devarim, we leave those out. Ha'eile lemeute tzavos v'kabolos. Amen. And ha'eile tells us even back here in the Parsha of Noso, we leave out any of the tzavos, anywhere the Kohen's commanding her, which is why we leave out vishbia ha'kohen. And we leave out v'amra isha, amen, amen. So that's the drasha of what the Torah is coming to tell you. When the Torah says, because of es ha'olos ha'eile, the first hey is inclusive, lirabos, not only the curses, but also the blessings that imply curse as well. And ha'ele comes to limit. The Gemara will ask at the end why the hay in some cases limits and why it's some cases it includes, expands. But ha'ele comes to tell us not ha'ele, these in Parshas Naso, and not this Parsha in Devarim, and ha'ele, these, and not the tzavos, not the instructions. So what is Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi, kulu dikamart, but es lirabos tzavos. So he agrees with all of these interpretations, except when the Torah says, because of es ha'olos, the es comes to bring back something that was excluded, and that is the tzavos, which is why it's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that you do include the yellow, you do include v'yishbiya ha'kohen es ha'isha, into what's going on. Rabbi Meir, esim lodar. So what does Rabbi Meir do with that? Rabbi Meir is not doresh es. Es is, I mean, this is throughout Shas. Are we doresh es? Are we not doresh es? What's the purpose of es? So Rabbi Meir does not doresh es. Rabbi Yehuda, kulu b'miyute doresh lahu. Rabbi Yehuda, so remember Rabbi Yehuda here was the minimalist. He had the least that we were including in it. And that's because he holds all of these instructions in the Kosovo, so olos ha'ele are coming to be limiting, right? Olos, olos mamish. So the olos tell you to include the actual curses, right? Which is why even Rabbi Yehuda would include this pasuk in the underline, yitein Hashem osoch lo'olo l'shvua besoch amech, what happens in the curse. Ha'olos limeute klolos, but ha'olos takes away the klolos abos machmas brachos, which is the beginning over here, tachas yishech hanoki. He would not include that, which is why he doesn't include the part that's red that's not underlined. Eile limeute klolos, Shema Mishnah Torah, Eile in the Kosovas Ha'olos Ha'ele comes to exclude the Klolos in Sefer Devarim. Ha'ele Limeute Tzavos V'Kabolos, Ha'ele actually excludes what Rabbi Meir said it excluded, and obviously he's not Doresh Esim, and therefore we don't include the Hishpia Kohen Esa Isha and V'Amra Isha Amein Amein, and all of that is, that's why he has the least. Rabbi Meir, Maishna A, Hai Hei de Marbi, U Maishna Hai Hei de Mayit. Why, according to Rabbi Meir, does the Hei of Ha'olos come to include and the Hei of Ha'ele come to exclude? So, Hei de Gabi Ribuya, Ribuya Hees. The Gemara says, no, it's very simple. Anytime Hei is modifying something that's coming to be inclusive in general, right? So, someone tells you, it's like a noun. The olos are curses, and ha-olos comes to tell you more of the curses. But hi, the gabi de miuta miute. But the word ele, these by definition, is always these and not those, right? So it's by definition a limiting word. So when it comes to be modify a limiting word, it comes to extend that limitation, and therefore that's it. The ha-letzleil Rabbi Meir michla lav atashomea hein. Does Rabbi Meir not agree to the notion that from lav atashomea hein, which means, does Rabbi Meir not concede the notion that, you know, what is included in the blessings can also create a curse? Rabbi michla lav atashomea hein, right? That's what Rashi says. The shma'inan le deboy itznai kofel. Right, Rabbi Meir himself agrees with the notion that when you make a condition, you need what's called a tanai kafel. You need to say, if this is going to happen, then I'll commit to this. And if it's not going to happen, then I won't commit to this. So you see that he has this sense of reciprocal, you know, balanced and paralleled formulations. So why did that drop off in the case of Sota? Why won't he include, why is he also including the the other piece? So Amar Rabbi Tanchum Hanaki Ksiv Darish Hanaki Ksiv. So the pasuk says Hanaki. So don't read it as Hanaki that you're free, but Hanaki could also mean like you're choking. In other words, that the brachos themselves have a piece of curse in them as well. The brachos themselves have a piece of curse in them as well, which is why he would hold that. That, what do you call it, that's included in that way. Darish Rabbi Akiva. So that's the end of the discussion of what we include. And now, because we have raised this issue of what's included, we have some drushes. Darish Rabbi Akiva. Ish ve'isha, a very, very famous Gemara. And man and a woman, zochu, if they are zoche, shechina b'nehen, then the shechina will reside within them. We know that the difference between the word ish and the word isha, they both have an aleph and they both have a shin. What is defining to each of them? One has a yud and one has a hey, and that's the name of Hashem. So zachu shchina b'nehem. Between the two of them, they come together, the yud of the ish, the hey of the isha, and now they are av shchina b'nehem. Lo zachu, but if they are not zoche, And Rashi says, why is this coming up here? Zachu lalechas v'derach yishara, shaloya hi noef, lo hi noefes, right? That everybody is faithful. If everybody is faithful and this marriage is healthy, then shechina b'nehem. Sharei chalak ha-shemo v'shichno b'nehem yud b'ish v'hei b'isha. But lo zachu eisho chlosan. Then if they're not zoche, then they remove God from the picture You remove God from the picture, and now what are you left with? The word Eish. You're left with the word Eish. That's what Rashi says. Shekadosh Baruch Hu mesalik shemo b'neihem v'nimtzu Eish v'Eish. Everybody gets consumed. The Maharal explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, any place that you find Shlemos, any place that you find, any space in the world where you find wholeness, where you find, you know, synthesis and harmonization, so that's a space that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manifesting. Because remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is totally Shalem. He created a world with enormous fragmentation and tension and challenge. And anytime there's a sense of... Anytime something is restored, so you encounter the world of Shekhinah. You encounter the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A man is incomplete without a woman. A woman is incomplete without a man. Right? That's what the Torah tells us. That everybody is lo tov, eyos adam levado, eselo ezer kenegdo. Everybody has to be completed. Right? Moshe is the expert. Right? So so everybody needs to be complete. So when there's this wholeness, when husband and wife are able to come together in harmony and in shalom and in peace, so there's a Shekhinah there. And when not, then why is there an Eish? So maybe there should just be, you know, like status quo or neutrality. And the answer is because once you have two very different types of people, and men and women, I think we don't need a pasuk to teach us that. Men and women are different. So once there isn't harmony between them, once there isn't wholeness, so then their kenegdo becomes the defining, and that becomes consuming. And that's the world of Eish. So Amar Rava, v'de'isha adifa mide'ish. Why? So, and a woman feels this challenge, this is closer to, is more susceptible and vulnerable to the challenges of alienation, you know, within marriage. Why? Hai mitzaref, hai lo mitzaref. Because in the man, the yud separates the aleph and the shin. In the woman, the hey, which is that Kadosh Baruch Hu part, is towards the end. So some of Farshim explain that has to do, even in the context of sota, right, that we know, first of all, like, for example, a man could marry many women. A woman could only marry one man, right? So there's a lot more at stake for the woman. A woman also, in a situation of infidelity, right, we know that there aren't long-term marital consequences for the man's discretion. Could continue living with his wife. Not always, you know, has to be obviously processed and dealt with. But if there is an indiscretion on the part of the woman, and it's willing, then she becomes asur labal v'asur laboel. She cannot continue living with her husband, and she cannot continue living, she cannot marry this individual she had this relationship with. Why that is not for now, but the reality is that in this parsha, there's a lot more at stake for the woman than there is for the man. She's in a much more vulnerable place. And so that's what the Gemara is acknowledging and recognizing. Amar Rava, b'nei ma'amar Torah haba efer lesota. Why is Zachsa Yotze Mimenu Ben Ka'avram? Ka'avram Avin. So why does Torah say that you bring offer to the Sota? Why are we bringing dirt into this? So the Gemara says that Zachsa, if she ends up, you know, proving herself right and everything's good, Yotze Mimenu Ben Ka'avram Avinu. She'll have children that are tzadikim like Avram Avinu. This poor woman, right, who is accused and had to suffer this humiliation, and it turns out that she did absolutely nothing wrong. So she gets a schar for that. She gets a reward for that. And that is, she has great children like Avram Avinu. What does Avram Avinu have to do with anything? Why are you schlepping Avram Avinu into this? So the Gemara says, Dechsiv bei ofer ve'efer. Because when it comes to Avram Avinu, scribes have ofer ve'efer, right? So, lo zochsa, but if she's not zochef, it turns out that she was unfaithful. Tachzor la'ofra. Then she's returned to the dirt, meaning she will lose her life. So either she'll access the tremendous energy of Avram Avinu, or she'll return to the dirt. Darish Rava bischar she'amar Avram Avinu v'anochi ofer ve'efer. the schar that Avram Avinu described himself with such humility that I'm afar va'efer zachu banav lebeiz mitzvos. His children were zocha to two mitzvos. Efer para, the para aduma, the efer sota, and the efer of sota. And it's explained, what do these two things have to do with each other? Because since Avram Avinu described himself with such humility and such deference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his children were given mitzvos that facilitate the drawing closer, you know, and the sense of tara that comes with the world of para aduma and the world of sota. Heard in the name of the Rav, Anochi Afar Va'efer. It's a very beautiful vart. That, I'm just from Rabbi Ganak. That, what's the difference between Afar and Efer? What's the difference between dirt and ashes? So, dirt has no past. It wasn't used for anything. It's sitting in the ground. But it can be used to cultivate something and nurture vitality for the future. Efer, ashes, had a past. There was an entity there of significance, but it's now ashes. It has no future. Oh, so, true. What are the ashes?
Ashes make a great fertilizer.
Okay.
To help nourish the plants in the dirt.
But I guess it's still it's still not the. Can you only plant in fertilizer?
No.
Okay. There we go. I don't know why that should matter. But the right. But the primary. So we'll hold back a little bit. The primary, you know, B'schus David clarifying. The primary role of the dirt is to nourish the future, and the primary identity of the Efer is that it's burnt, it's gone, it's finished. So says the Rav, that's why B'schus that he said Afar, B'schus that he talked about himself as dirt, which dirt has no past, but it has a future. So he gets the offer of Sota. And the offer of Sota is basically one that it doesn't just restore the future. It clarifies that from the beginning, everything was really kosher mekusher. It puts the marriage back together by clarifying what was in the past. And B'schus, that he described himself with the humility of Efer, of Ash, so he is able to enjoy, which generally has a past but has no future, he was given this mitzvah of para aduma that takes somebody who's become tamei because of Tumas Meis and allows them to have a future, to be able to rejoin the world of Tara. So the Gemara says, Va'ika nami afar kiso yadam. How come kiso yadam, which is a mitzvah also that involves dirt, you cover the blood that comes out of the animal when you do shechita. It's an obligation of kiso yadam. Hasam hechsher mitzvah. Thereby kisa yadam, right? That's like a hechsher mitzvah, something we do in order to facilitate the ability to do shechita. Doesn't have the same level of hana as these two things, as actually enabling you to move forward with either the marriage or with your tara. So darash rava bischar shamar Avram Avinu imichut v'ad sharuch in schar that the Avram Avinu said to Sodom, I will not take a thread of a shoe or a strap of anything of a shoe that's yours. Zochu lebanav lebeiz mitzvos. There was zochu to two mitzvos. Chut shel tcheles v'ritzua shel tefillin. The string of tcheles and the strap of tefillin. Bishlam ritzua shel tefillin. I understand the relationship to tzua shel tefillin. The chsev v'ro ko ameya ares kishem Hashem nikra alecha. I understand because v'tanya Rabbi Lazar Agadolamo elot tefillin shabarosh. Right, so tefillin shabarosh have a certain projected glory that should be associated with this great declaration of Avram Avinu. Ela chut shel tcheles mahi. What does chut shel tcheles have to do anything? What's so great about the chut shel tcheles? So good, you have tcheles on your tzitzis. Who cares? Famous Gemara. D'tanya, Aya, Rabbi Meir, Omer, manishtana tcheles mikol minei tzvuin. Why is tcheles different from all the other colors? Misha tcheles dom liyam. Tcheles looks like the sea. V'yam doma l'rekia, and the sea looks like the sky. V'rekia doma l'kisei hakavod, and the sky already reminds you of the kisei hakavod. Shenemar v'yuras elokei Yisrael v'tachas raglav, kemaseh livnos asapir, v'ka'etzem ha'shamayim l'tayr, That the demus of the kisei hakavod, that's what sits in the upper worlds of, and that's what tcheles brings you towards. The Rav, I think it's the Rav, has a famous comment that in what's unique about this mashal of the Gemara is that, and it gets to the heart of what tzitzis is all about, is that tzitzis have two colors. It has white and it has blue. So the white represents clarity, mitzvos that we're clear on, aspects of life that we're clear on. What does the blue of the tcheles represent? So the Rav says, you know, tcheles doma liyam. It's doma to the sea, which is blue. But if you take a cup of the sea, out of the sea, and you look at it, what does it look like? Looks clear. You can't really see the blue. Yam doma lirakia. You get an airplane, you go up to the sky. It's an intangible blue, right? And that's doma lekisei hakavod. So blue represents things that, you know, we know are there, but they're, the rational grasp of them is beyond us. And what tzitzis are meant to remind us of is that as we go through life, there are aspects of this world that we understand and we can connect to, and mitzvahs we appreciate and we recognize their role. And there are aspects of our life and of our mitzvahs and of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that it's begetter tcheles, that it's beyond, it's transcendent, it's more than we can handle. And that's that's where tcheles brings us to. Okay, Mishnah at the bottom of Yudzayin Amud Aleph. Now we discuss this Amud discussed what we write on the sota piece. The next Mishnah, Eino Kosev, discusses what material it's actually written on top of. What is the paper? So Eino Kosev lo ala luach, you shouldn't put it like on a luach, Rashi says, shel eitz, on a piece of wood. The lo ala niyar, and you shouldn't put it on a grassy piece of paper that sticks and it's not like parchment. The lo ala diftera, you don't put it on an unprocessed piece of paper, a parchment. Ela ala megillah, you put it on a megillah and a good piece of parchment. Shenemar b'sefer, because one of the things that the Torah says to describe this megillah sota is the word sefer. The eno kosev, and you don't write it in terms of the ink and the pen. Lo bekumus v'lo bekankantum. You don't write it with this type of quill that makes indentations and these kinds of things. And Rashi says, if it gets too deep into the cloth, it won't easily dissolve. So rather you write it with basic ink. So it has to be written with something that can be dissolved. Amar Rava, says Rava, Megillah Sota Shekosva Balayla Psula. You can't write a Megillah Sota at night. My Daima, what's the reason? Isya Torah Torah. We compare the word Torah and the other word Torah. Ksiv Achad says by Sota, V'osa lo hakoin is kol haTorah hazos. V'ksiv Hasam, and it says as well, Al pi haTorah, when it comes to Bezdin, Asher Yaruchov ala Mishpat, that when it comes to the way in which the Dayanim instruct you, so you should stand b'mishpat. Ma mishpat b'yom, supposed to have a din Torah b'yom, and not b'layla, that's a whole discussion. Af Megillah Sota b'yom, so Megillah Sota also has to be b'yom. Kosva l'mafreya psula, if you write it out of order, that is also considered pasul. Dichsiv, because it says, v'kosav esa olos ha'ele, ki dichsiva. Because it has to be written like this, like it's written. You can't start writing one pasuk and then the first pasuk and then the third pasuk and the second pasuk. Everything's got to be written in the right order.
And the kohen can't even take one that's pre-made from his pocket. He has to write it right there and then.
Correct. And we'll get to that. Kasav l'mafrei psula dichsiv. The kasav also like kik dichsiv. Okay. Kasav kodem shetikabel aleh shvua psula. You also can't write it before she's makabel. The shvua. Then it's also psula. Shenemar v'yishbia v'acharkach v'kosav. Kosav igeres. If you write it like a letter. So Rashi says, what did you write it like? You wrote it below sirtut. You write it without sirtut. What is sirtut? Sirtut is the lines that are, if you ever have a chance to look at the Sefer Torah, the lines that are etched into the Sefer Torah, the Salacha L'Moshe Misinai. That you require sirtut, that you require this indentation. So Rashi says, because the Torah, because the pasuk says, "Kasva yigeres psula b'sefer amarachmona." There's a long reason why our daf is nice and short. It's because there's a long arichas and tosis. When do you require sirtut? When do you not require sirtut? There's a big discussion in tosis because, in general, when you write psukim, you're supposed to have sirtut. There's no sirtut by tefillin. There's sirtut by mezuzah. There's sirtut by sefer Torah. There's sirtut in a get. And there's sirtut over here in Megillah Sota. So Megillah Sota, the get doesn't have psukim, but the Megillah Sota has psukim. So l'chora, you should be chayav for sirtut in general. So say that the chiddush here is that not that even if you violate the rule that you're not supposed to write psukim without sirtut, not only so normally you would imagine, okay, so all right, I violated that rule, but this is still effectual in terms of a Megillah Sota. And the answer is no. It without sirtut, it passels the Megillah from being utilized as a Megillah Sota. Kosva al shnei dapim. Rashi says kedapim shel sefer Torah asuyin amudim. If you write them on two separate dapim psula, sefer echad amar rachmana velo shnayim v'shlosha svarim. It's got to be one, and it's got to. It can't go on to two different ones. Okay, then the Gemara has a longer list of all sorts of different things. That'll take us to the next mission.